When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen is testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the evangelists tell the story of Jesus, it's not just another event in the long history of the world. The evangelists assert that this week, and even this day, has the central event of all history. Everything from creation and flood and the Exodus, the time of the judges and the kings and the prophets, the exile in Babylon and those long 400 years of silence, all of that leads to this singular moment of Christ's death on Golgotha and his resurrection on the third day. And everything since the cross and resurrection is understood now under that shadow, under the shadow of Calvary, even unto the consummation of ages on the last day. Now, this is a pretty bold statement, I know. How could one event, much less one moment, time, or hour, define all history and all reality? Say it another way, how could Christ's birth, ministry, suffering, death, burial, and resurrection help us to understand all of time, including even our own life story? This week, as we've heard our Lord's Passion together from St. Mark, Matthew, Luke, and now St. John, we've heard this repeated assertion, "For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled." Now, by scriptures, the evangelists are referring to Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, collectively what we call the Old Testament. When they say these things must be done that the scripture be fulfilled, they're asserting that the story of Jesus was always the point. Every spirit-inspired story, be it by Moses or prophet or by psalmist, from the most well-known story to the least known stories, they all find their purpose in Jesus. That's a phenomenal statement. Of course, this is what we do. We take great pains daily to confess Christ in our hearing and teaching and preaching from the sacred scriptures. Like the evangelist, Jesus himself sets this model for us even on Easter evening. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Of course, he had already been doing that for us earlier in the Gospels, especially in his Passion prophecies. Remember how he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," John 3. Or in another place when he said, "As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth," Matthew 12. Well, those stories then, Jesus tells us, clearly point to him. And maybe you knew those stories, that of Jonah or of Moses in the wilderness, but there's more. The evangelist John reminds us at the beginning of our Passion reading today that Jesus is also the son of David, who was rejected in the same way as the first David. This was all given to us with just a brief mention, how Jesus passed over the brook Kidron. And of course, this is supposed to inspire your imagination. Brook Kidron, what do I know about the brook? And if we had the time, we could spend at least probably an hour on that little wadi of a river. But we'll stay focused today. Again, by mentioning the brook Kidron, the evangelist is telling us that Jesus is the son of David. You remember how Absalom, David's son, rebelled against his father David? In the same way, then, we hear of the chief priests and the Pharisees rebelling against God, their father. Judas betrays Jesus just like Ahithophel, who had counseled Absalom, betrays him. Peter's denial was like that momentary defection of David's commander, Hushai, whose counsel ultimately would undo Absalom in the end. There's one story that finds its fulfillment in Christ's passion. And we could go on to speak about how Jesus identifies himself as the eternal Son of God, whose name is I Am. That is the same God who appeared to Moses out of the burning bush, and in whom Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all worshipped. Or we could speak about how Caiaphas acted within the Levitical office of high priest, first given to Aaron and then to his sons, when he spoke of the proper sacrifice, offering Jesus up as the lamb whose blood was the atonement for the sins of the nation. Or we could speak about how Jesus is the Passover lamb, dimly seen first in the Exodus lamb, but now fully revealed in his passion. His own Father, God, prepares him for roasting upon the spit of the cross. He is the unblemished lamb, indeed the Lamb of God, pure and holy, as we'll sing, who takes away the sins of the world. So what Abraham found in the thicket, the ram, or the Exodus instituted, or Leviticus expanded with rite and ritual, or even the Baptist himself proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God," is now finished in Jesus. Those are maybe some of the more obvious allusions to the scripture. But there's more. There's a lot more. All history is made most vivid today as Christ Jesus fulfills it all. Even with stories that you've never heard of, never heard read to you in Sunday school, or weren't in your children's Bible. It's true, the accounts of the evangelists of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, they can be heard with simplicity of heart and with the comfort of the gospel. Christ Jesus is crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That central truth is beautifully confessed. The glory of God revealed as your sins are atoned for in Jesus' shed blood. And what I'm suggesting to you today is that the evangelists are invoking and intoning details that are meant to inspire your sacred imagination, that you would further consider them, explore them, and meditate upon them. And this is not a time to be ashamed about what you don't know. None of us truly know the scriptures in the way that Jesus does. Even pastor has to learn in order to teach. And so there is no end to hearing and learning from Jesus' word. We can hear this passion account each year, over and over, and it always inspires us in new and different ways. As Jesus, by his Spirit, working through that word, brings our faith from infancy to maturity. And you will be finally matured. That is, to completion, in the hour of your death, and in that twinkling of an eye when you are resurrected. All history bears witness that there's only one story that ultimately matters then, death and resurrection. And as Christ Jesus died and rose for you, so you die and be raised to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.